Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We hear a lot about the pay gap between men and women in the workplace, that women are not paid as much as their male counterparts. What if a woman is paid more than her husband? What if she is, at least in terms of sheer dollars and cents, the primary breadwinner in the family? Does that mean, well, she should be, if she follows the feminist program, she should be happy. She's really achieved something, especially if she exceeds her husband in, it's just a way of telling hubby, I don't really need you anymore, right? Isn't it? I mean, you still love him, but you need to occasionally remind him that you don't need him because you earn your own money. That's what the feminists say it ought to be like. Does it result in happier women and happier marriages? Joining us to answer that question and others, and to talk about 50-50 marriages, Suzanne Venker, a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's a regular contributor to Fox News, and she is author of the book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Is Your 50-50 Relationship Ruining Your Marriage? Suzanne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
We are hearing that women, as opposed to men, are not altogether happy or feeling very empowered when they become one of or the chief breadwinner in their family. Why do you say that the real culprit here are not social expectations, but human nature?
Right. So the research shows consistently that the more women take on in terms of breadwinning, the more frustrated or unhappy they tend to be, which of course flies in the face of what women are told they're supposed to aspire to. And yes, there's a very good reason for that. It's called human nature. You know, biology matters. You know, men and women are not interchangeable, and they come into this world with a different set of variables. So essentially what happens is women are, you know, they're born nurturers, right? That's written into their DNA. And with men, they are born to or made to provide and protect. And that's their testosterone, which is all about competing and providing for their family. And when you mess with that too much, and this is very important that we delineate between, you know, this has nothing to do with wives and mothers ever holding jobs or never holding jobs, and men never being involved on the home front, which is, you know, just unheard of. I don't know anybody who really lives that way anymore. But it's just mostly about really a complete role reversal, or not just necessarily reversal, but women taking on too much in being that breadwinner on top of wife and mother. And so because men pride themselves on being able to protect and provide for their family, their well-being, this is what this new research showed, goes up exponentially when they're the primary wage earners. But when women take that on, that full-time breadwinner role, they become very frustrated, very overwhelmed, and very uncomfortable. And that, to me, makes perfect sense because, you know, in a nutshell, you could say they're just doing too much.
Okay, so is part of it, too, that in the simple division of labor, being a mother and a wife requires not only something different, but something in the home substantially more consuming, if not in time, but certainly of energy, than, to be frank, being a dad.
Yeah, you know, I always say that the issue really that we have culturally isn't with this faux concept of equality. It's the battle is over time. You know, there's only so much time in the day that a married couple can raise a family and also do the breadwinning. That raising of a family has always traditionally been viewed as a very full-time task. And indeed, it still very much is. And so by trying to combine the two, it's inevitable that you're going to be an overload. So you can see why that would lead to unhappiness. And of course, what we hear from the culture again is always that, well, men and employers haven't stepped up to the game. If they would just make this easier for women, they could do it. And that's really why they're unhappy trying to balance it all. But again, it's not about that at all. In fact, the research shows that men are unbelievably involved on the home front more than they ever have been in the past, but that it's simply time that is the enemy.
Tell us some of the details about this, the research that you've written about here. What does it actually say?
Yeah, it was from the University of Illinois last month, and what their finding was that the more women's paychecks increased, the more the women reported symptoms of depression. But when men were the primary wage earners, their psychological well-being was highest. So that was their hypothesis, and then they did the research, and it actually panned out. And then, interestingly enough, just last week, Pew Research came out with a finding that showed 71% of Americans say that it's very important for a man to be able to support a family financially, but only 32% say the same thing about a woman. Now, you think about that huge, that's a huge difference. But it basically says the majority of people still understand and believe that men should be the primary wage earners for their family. And indeed, most married couples with children, their lives reflect that. So you're seeing both in the research and in the what families are actually doing, that most people agree with that arrangement. So it's not that if you don't do it, that's fine. If you don't do it, you know, that there's no issue with that. But the point is to understand that that's how most people choose to function, and they do so more happily that way because I think they're moving with the tide, you know, the way things are designed to be by nature, as opposed to fighting against it all the time. And the more you know, going back to what we originally said, mess with it or muck it up too much, then that's when it starts to get overwhelming.
These findings of kind of increased unhappiness, dissatisfaction with the increased paycheck, these are found in with couples regardless of how they stand on the issue of equality, isn't it?
Yes, and that's very important because most people in theory love the idea of the egalitarian couple, which is the so-called 50-50 marriage. But in practice, you know, there's lots of things that sound good in theory, but in practice, they don't fly. And what the reason why I believe the 50-50 concept does not work is because, number one, it turns the relationship into a competitive one from a complementary one, which is how it is meant to be. And two, 50-50 is just the wrong attitude altogether, right? It should be 100-100. If you think about it, 50, I don't want to just give 50% of my marriage and just depend on him to do the same unless it's all in, all or nothing. So I think the whole 50-50 thing is just a terrible narrative to send. But there's more to it than we can actually see in the research. You know, if you do deeper research on the whys of it, a lot of psychologists will tell you that, for example, men and women have very different attitudes about money. So because, again, going back to that men being wired to provide and protect, their version of money, the way they view money is you know, much more of a means to take care of his family. And so it makes him feel good to, you know, have some control there and be able to feel like he's caring for them. When women take on that same role, they tend to use the money as a means of control, as opposed to, I'm doing this to care for my children and my man. It's just a completely different set of a different paradigm, really, that you're working with, whether the man or the woman is bringing home the money. And many women also begin to resent their husbands if they're not making at least as much, if not more, than the woman. And it would not be the same in reverse. Men do not feel resentful towards their wives if they, as husbands, make more. That's what they want to do so that they can care for them. That's their sense of self-worth. But you just can't flip that on its head and have it be the same way with women, because since, you know, even biologically speaking, I mean, just evolutionary speaking, I should say, we know that hypergamy is a thing, right? Hypergamy is women wanting to marry at their equal station or higher. And it's always been that way. So the more and more money they make, if they become the breadwinners, they just want another breadwinner who's going to make the same, if not more. So if their husbands are making less, then they start to resent it. And then that becomes very problematic on the home front, because you have a lot of conflict about who's doing what, who should be doing what, and all of that mess.
What does this say to the kind of primary cultural and social and business message that we're constantly getting, which is women aren't paid as much as men, that the pay disparity, the pay gap there is the real problem for women in the workplace?
So, I mean, the pay gap, you know, the pay gap has already been a shoot. I mean, we know that the pay gap, yes, it's there, but it's there because women are voluntarily choosing not to have the full-time careers that men are. So that is a voluntary thing that does not need fixing because it's showing that women have other priorities, and that's perfectly fine. As to how it leads with this particular issue, you know, I mean, to some degree they're related and they're not. You know, I think the cultural narrative is that women are miserable because they're not making as much as men, when in fact the ones, you know, again, going back to what most Americans choose, most couples with children, the husbands make more than the wives in 70% of the families. I mean, that's a huge number. And that's not because women are secretly wishing they were doing something else. It's because they're choosing it that way. They like it that way. It works.
Finally, then, do you think the takeaway here should be something to the effect of, well, women, if you really think you want to make as much or more than your husband and be either the primary or the 50-50 breadwinner, think again, because you might resent your husband for it.
That's absolutely one takeaway for sure. What we know from the research, again, is that couples who embrace conventional roles simply tend to be happier. And that's because, in my opinion, they're moving with the tide, as I say, and not trying to hold it back and switch it up and have all this conflict as a result of that. It's just much easier to go with the way that it's natural for us. Now, that doesn't mean the roles are completely inflexible and there's no crossover. Of course there is. It just means that you're working within a framework that understands that men and women are different and they have different needs and desires, and that's okay. And if you go with it, you're likely to have a much smoother marriage or relationship.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She is a regular contributor at Fox News, author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Is Your 50-50 Relationship Ruining Your Marriage? You can read it and purchase The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
On the other side of the break, we are going to be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's four soundbites that we have lined up for you. One from Joy Pullman on Hillary Clinton and the Prodigal Son Parable. Another on how Christianity is actually countercultural with Dr. Jeff Gibbs. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery has one of our soundbites, A Danger of Gospel Reductionism. And the fourth soundbite for your consideration after the break, Pastor Paul McCain answering the question, do Lutherans follow Luther? We'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You want to get ready to call and vote, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page for your in-advance votes, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week is next.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacraments faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9 a.m. and the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
What do you believe? What do you say about what you believe? And why exactly does it matter? Learn more about the what and why of the Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in The Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back. and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.